Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we gather together this week of Thanksgiving, where we celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday, it's important for us, I think, to reflect upon why we celebrate Thanksgiving and the importance of giving thanks. Sometimes it's easy to think during this holiday time that really Thanksgiving is only about turkey or football or something like that. I came across a list of that somebody put together of how you know that you've eaten too much on Thanksgiving. And the first thing is the gravy boat that your wife set out is an actual 12-foot boat. Secondly, on Friday, you set off 3 seismographs when you go for your morning jog. You know you've eaten too much when, third, pricking your finger for a blood test yields gravy. And fourth, the rash on your stomach turns out to be steering wheel burn. And I like the fifth one the best. This is the way you know you've eaten too much. Representatives from the Butterball Hall of Fame have called twice. It was a 4-year-old girl who was asked about how she liked her turkey dinner, and she said, "Well, I didn't like the turkey so much, but I sure loved the bread that it ate." Comedian Burl Williams said, "There's so much football on television on Thanksgiving that they're thinking about passing a law. Any man who watches 3 successive football games can be declared legally dead by his wife." I don't know. We all recognize that, of course, that Thanksgiving is much more than football or turkey. And really, it is all about giving thanks, of course. And it's somewhat easier to give thanks when things are going well, when we're not having any problems. Although sometimes it's really easy when things are going well to forget about God altogether. But by and large, it's easier to give thanks when things are going relatively well. And it's much more difficult to give thanks when we're having struggles, when we're having challenges, when things aren't going so well. And certainly, we can get to the point in our lives where we begin to think that really the things that we have in our lives, the things we have acquired, the things we've worked for, really have simply come about through our own efforts alone, through our blood, sweat, and tears. And we may begin to be tempted to think, well, since I kind of accomplished all of this, I kind of garnered all this stuff for myself, then I really don't need to give thanks to God. It's all my doing. And that's exactly what our Old Testament lesson today is talking about in Deuteronomy. So if you wouldn't mind turning in the Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8, in the Pew Bibles, that's on page 286. And I want us to look at that again, because there's a couple of passages in this section here that really, I think, can jump out at us and help us to have the right perspective when it comes to the things that we have. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting at verse 10. It says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful not to forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increases, and all you have is multiplied," verse 14 says, "then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." So he's saying that it's easy for us when we begin to have things in our lives, when we have houses, when we have food enough to eat, when we have the comforts of our normal lives, then we begin to become proud, thinking to ourselves that, you know, I've done pretty well for myself. I've really accomplished a lot. We begin to become prideful and, in a sense, forget the Lord our God. And that's what he's saying. Continuing on down to verse 17. "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirm his covenant which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." So scripture is telling us here that God gives us the ability to have what we have. That doesn't negate hard work. That doesn't negate us exerting ourselves and seeking to do what we can to earn our living and to have the things that we have. but at the same time, recognizing that really it is by the grace of God that we have the ability to even have these things and to be able to acquire the wealth that we have. Sometimes we can get so used to the blessings that we have that we automatically assume that they're just going to continue on. And so when hard times come upon us, or when we have times of suffering, or when we have times when things aren't going well, we can begin to think that we may be shortchanged by God, that somehow God might have abandoned us in some way. And certainly, the story is told of two old friends who met on the street one day, kind of bumped into each other, and one of the guys had just a sad look on his face, like he was about ready to cry. And the other one said to him, "Well, how's the world treating you?" And the first guy said, "Terrible. I mean, 3 weeks ago, my aunt died and left me $40,000. And the guy said, "Well, that's pretty good. I mean, that's kind of a blessing, isn't it? That's a lot of money." And the guy said, "Well, you don't understand. 2 weeks ago, a cousin I barely knew died, and he left me $85,000 free and clear." And his friend said, "Man, sounds like you're really being blessed." The guy said, "You don't understand. Last week, my great aunt died and left me $500,000. By this time, his friend was just perplexed. And he said, "Well, why is it that you have such a sad look on your face?" And the guy said, "This week, nothing." We get so used to blessings that we think, well, they're just automatically going to come. And when they don't come, we get disappointed, or somehow we feel like that God has let us down in some way. Our gospel lesson really talks in some ways about losing sight of the blessings that we have, and not realizing that those blessings do come from God. We begin to worry about what we're going to eat, or what we're going to drink, or what we're going to wear, or how we're going to pay our bills. And our worry can begin to take a toll on us. It can begin to take a toll on us not only spiritually, but also emotionally and physically. An attitude of thankfulness can help keep us from giving in so much to worry and fear in our lives. When we acknowledge God as the source of our lives, then we are reminded that nothing happens to us beyond God's control or beyond God's provision. An attitude of thankfulness can cause us to have a different perspective on everything that happens to us. It's the story of a king and his good friend who went out hunting one day, and his good friend had a way of looking at things that happened to him in a different way than most people. He looked at everything that happened to him, and whenever something would happen, whether good or bad, he would respond, "This is good." And he did that so often that he just became known as someone who looked at life in a different sort of way. And so he would respond, whether something bad or something good happened to him, by saying, "This is good." And so he and the king went out hunting, and his job was to load the rifle for the king. And somehow he didn't load it correctly, and so when he handed the king the rifle to shoot, the king, when he shot, the rifle discharged in the wrong way and blew off the king's thumb. Well, his friend replied in the way that he always did, "This is good." And the king said, "What do you mean this is good? This is terrible. You blew off my thumb." And he threw his good friend into jail for a year. Well, about a year later, the king again went hunting, and this time he had an entourage of 3 or 4 people with him. And as they were going hunting, they went into an area they should not have been. And it was an area inhabited by cannibals. And so the cannibals captured them and took them back to their village. And one by one, the king's hunting party were boiled in oil. And the king was tied to a stake, and he was going to be the last one that was going to be eaten by the cannibals. And so when it came time to put the king in boiling oil, they went to untie him, and they discovered that his thumb was missing. And they were superstitious to the point that they did not believe in eating anyone that was less than whole. And so they untied him and let him go, and he went back to his home. And as he was going back to his home, he began to think about the circumstances that caused his thumb to be blown off. And he began to feel bad about sending his friend to jail for so long. So he went immediately to the jail, and he began to apologize to his friend and explain what had happened related to the cannibals. And so as he was apologizing, he said, "I'm just so sorry for putting you into prison all this time. And you know, I really did something that was very bad. And his friend responded, no, this is good. And the king said, what do you mean this is good? How can it be good that I throw up my good friend into jail for so long? And his friend said, no, this is good because if I would not have been in jail, I would have been with you. Well, certainly, Jesus reminds us that it's important for us to remember that God is good and that everything will work out for our greatest good as we put our trust in Him and as we seek first His kingdom. And certainly, we might begin to try to develop more of an attitude of thanksgiving. And that attitude of thanksgiving might even help us to look at the things that happen to us as maybe looking for the good in those things and not so much looking at the bad in those things, the way that maybe God might be working out His purposes in the things that happen to us. I think this will cause our attitude to become certainly more a reflection of thanksgiving and less of an attitude of grumbling and complaining, less of an attitude of bitterness and anger, less of an attitude of worry and fear. I like what St. Paul said in Romans chapter 12. He said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, change your thinking and how you look at things. Do not be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So as we begin to transform the way we think and to develop more of an attitude of thanksgiving, then we'll begin to be more aware that God has a plan, that God's will for our life is being worked out, even in some of the ups and downs, even in some of the hard times and some of the good times. All of those things can remind us that there is much in our lives for which we can be thankful. And sometimes we can get to the place where we can't think of much for which to be thankful. And I always tell people when you get to that place in their life to remember what Jesus Christ has done for you. Remember His death on the cross. Remember how He has extended His grace to you. Remember the fact that He has forgiven your sins and made it possible for you to have a home in heaven. All of those things are given to us undeserved, and yet those blessings are certainly far outweigh any of the material blessings that we have on this earth. So I would encourage each one of us as we approach the day of Thanksgiving to really think about the things for which we're thankful, and then begin to make it a daily practice to give thanks in all circumstances. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to offer our thanks to You. And Lord, I think how often I take for granted the blessings that I have and the things that You have provided for me. And I also think how often I neglect to give thanks to You. Lord, we are blessed to have a church in which our service is centered around a great thanksgiving, so that we are always reminded of things for which we can give thanks. And I ask, Lord, that You would not only fill our hearts with gratitude for the blessings that we have, but help us each day to give thanks to You for the good things that You have provided and for who You are as our God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.